We are in the second week of Advent now, so we are familiar with how the liturgy gives us an Old Testament prophecy and then in the Gospel a fulfillment of the prophecy. Today we see in the Gospel Jesus offer a double miracle or a double healing, forgiveness of sins and healing of paralysis. Which makes this particular incident in the life of Jesus stand out, because Jesus healed many people physically. But in this case, he addresses the man's spiritual condition first. And this gospel is put in Advent to help us reflect on what we are waiting for Jesus to do, or what we are preparing for. Here we are in Advent, we're waiting for the coming of the Lord, we're preparing for the coming of the Lord, prepare the way. We are looking forward to his powerful restoration, but are we aware of what he is really coming to do, who he is, and what is his real mission? Our tendency is always to focus first on external things, on freedom from physical sickness, on resolution of our problems, poverty, injustices in the world, pandemics, political strife, family issues, this sort of thing. And if we read the prophecies, we realize he is coming to do that, yes. Today's prophecy from Isaiah speaks about all kinds of beautiful restoration, including abundant flowers, but also physical healing and the clearing away of obstacles on the way of the Lord. A prophecy about what will really give us joy. Maybe I can try to illustrate what I'm saying by giving you a personal reflection. Yesterday was my birthday, as everybody must know, because I got dozens and dozens of greetings. People said, the pandemic and the quarantine are not going to stop us from greeting you. So they sent greetings by text, by Viber, by video, by messenger, I don't know how many different ways, but all sorts of virtual greetings. Probably all of you are among those who sent me virtual greetings. And in the greetings, people, first of all, wished me happiness. That's what happy birthday is. I wish happiness to you. So that's one of the things we want people to have, is happiness. But then some said, you know, may you have many more birthdays, which is also a beautiful expression of wanting someone to live a long time. And people expressed gratitude and love, all sorts of kind sentiments. Pretty common for people to wish me safety. You know, people didn't say that last year. Stay safe, stay safe. Now everybody says stay safe. So, but that's a right sentiment. We want people to be protected from the COVID-19. And people expressed lots of other positive things. Good health, joy, prosperity, many years, had happiness. Not one person said, may you be free from sin. Not one person said, may you have freedom from sin. And of course nobody would say that, because it sounds like a judgment, like, oh, you're a sinner and you should be set free. But that only shows us, that's not the first thing we think of when we wish well of people. We want them to be happy, we want them to be healthy, we want them to be prosperous, we want them to be protected. But do we want people to have freedom from sin? Now, I'm not saying that anybody should say, when you greet someone on his or her birthday, I'm not saying you should say, may you have freedom from sin, because it does sound awfully judgmental. I'm only making an Advent reflection here. Because what we're preparing for in the coming of the Lord is someone who heals the whole person, not just to give us physical health, but to give us spiritual health, actually both, and all kinds of health, all kinds of restoration, the whole person, body and soul. But this spiritual condition is one of the crucial aspects of our dysfunction, of our sickness. Remember John the Baptist? He was introduced yesterday for the first time in this Advent season. John the Baptist comes along to prepare the way of the Lord. And how does he prepare? With a baptism of repentance. John did not come to heal, physical healing. He came for repentance. Prepare the way by getting sin out of the way. So this is part of our preparation too. And it's also part of what we're expecting or what we're waiting for, what we're longing for. We're longing for a Savior who will free us not only from physical or social problems, but also from the worst spiritual problems, sin. Perhaps we are slow to identify the spiritual problems because they're not as obvious to us. Physical problems are obvious. If a tree falls and hits me in the hand and breaks my hand, I say, "Well, I have a broken hand. Lord, heal me." It's a physical condition, and we look for healing. If I punch someone in the face and break my hand, I'm aware I broke my hand. But am I aware of the offense I have committed against my brother? Maybe, because it's connected to a physical condition. But if I say in my heart, "I wish that guy would have an accident," my hand doesn't hurt. No physical sign that anything has gone wrong, but I have damaged my soul with a sin against my brother. That I wished ill against him. I wished some evil to take place. I have harmed myself if I make a decision like that. And I might not even notice it because there's no physical pain, no noticeable effect. Well, in Advent, we should open our eyes to these deeper and more serious illnesses that we have, sins. Because we're not repenting of having sicknesses or having social problems or physical issues. That doesn't take repentance. We just ask for restoration, yes. We want the desert to bloom. But the problems that we ourselves have caused by our sin is the much more serious thing. So when the people bring this paralyzed man to Jesus, beautiful, these men who carry him on a stretcher, they can't get past the crowd, they climb up on the roof of the house, they open up a hole, and they lower the man down. Very beautiful, very dedicated, faith-filled men. And Jesus looks at them, sees their faith, and says to the paralyzed man, "As for you, your sins are forgiven." Your sins are forgiven. The spiritual illness that is crippling you is healed. Extraordinary gift. But no physical manifestation that anything changed. He's still paralyzed. He's still lying on his stretcher. The people who carried him probably were disappointed that he didn't get healed. The scribes and the Pharisees had a different concern. They said Jesus blasphemed. He spoke about forgiveness of sin as if he had some authority over sin and forgiveness. And they said, and this is true what they said, "Who but God alone can forgive sins?" Who but God alone? Only God can forgive sins, because God is the one who is offended. So only the one who's offended can be the one to forgive. This is the amazing thing. Jesus is God. Jesus does speak with the authority of God. He can forgive sins because he's the one offended. That's the shocking thing about this gospel. Not that he healed the paralyzed man, but that he actually introduces the presence of God and the mercy of God to heal the man from his sin. Well, this is the amazing gift that we receive in faith. When we welcome the Lord, we're welcoming not only a healer. Yes, he's a healer. Don't get me wrong. We even have a sacrament for the sick that's for healing. We pray for physical healing, and we pray for the end of the pandemic, and we pray for the restoration of so many physical and social illnesses. But the amazing power of God is to set us free from sin. So let us, as we prepare in this Advent season, let us open our hearts to the whole restoration that Jesus offers. The blooming of flowers in the desert, the healing of the eyes of the blind, the clearing of the ears of the deaf, the leaping of the lame, the tongue of the mute singing, but also the blackened soul of sinners made clean, and that all of us will be set free from this crippling spiritual condition because of the great power of the mercy of God.